Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on demand on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. How's it going? Chase McCabe here with you, as always, talking NASCAR. Huge show this week. Kevin Harvick is going to join the program, so we'll get his thoughts on the new rules package that made its debut at Atlanta, and of course, we're really going to see it in full effect at Las Vegas this weekend, so we will chat with him. But what a race. I actually had the opportunity very last minute to go down to Atlanta to see the race for myself, and it was fun with this new rules package. And, you know, I wish more people would show up to the Atlanta Motor Speedway, because I think the racing is tremendous there. I think it's fast. It's bumpy. It's got character. It's not one of these cookie-cutter type tracks. And I think that that's something that's missing in NASCAR now, is having these tracks that have some character to them. And so it was a fun race, fun weekend. And the things that I saw some passing. I saw a lot of lead changes. I saw some cars have trouble. And I saw a relatively good race, in my opinion. I know there's mixed reviews right now. Keep in mind, it is the very first race with this rules package. So it's going to take some time for NASCAR to really get it figured out and for the drivers to get it figured out. But, you know, that's why they run the races. That's why they're doing this. I think it's an opportunity for them to make the racing better. And so far, they are trending in the right direction to do that. So Brad Keselowski gets the win. And here's the crazy part. He didn't get any stage points. He didn't win any of the stages. He wasn't in the top 10. In those, and then he comes on in the last stage, ends up winning the race, and ran a whale of a race there at the end. He was sick all weekend. That's the crazy part. He almost didn't run the race at all because he had been sick and dealing with that, and ends up getting in. And I was listening to post race when I was leaving the track on Sirius XM, and they were interviewing BK, and he was saying he felt like crap the whole day. But, you know, race car drivers are at home when they're in their race cars, and he ultimately was able to power through and win the race. And so Roger Penske gets another win. Brad Keselowski gets another win. It's the first win for the Mustang. And here is a very excited and very tired Brad Keselowski in victory lane with Fox Sports' Vince Welch.
Well, he told me before the race he was only 70 or 80%, but you said 70, 80%, and the car was all good enough to win. You backed it up. How'd you do that?
Yeah, it was good enough to get the job done. I think, first off, I got to give a lot of credit to one of my wife who's standing in the back. She was sick, just like I was, and she took great care of me, along with everybody in the care center. I couldn't be here today without them, so thank you. And Doug Yates, we ran over a piece of debris with, I don't know, probably 50 laps to go, and overheated really bad. And I thought there was no way this engine would make it to the end, but Doug Yates and his team, they do a great job. I'm pretty sure it's all used up, Doug, but it's in victory lane, so that's okay, right? And then my sponsor, Auto Trader, they let me put for my foundation all the names of some veterans on the car to honor them. Just a lot of really cool things that came together this weekend, and this is one I'm not going to forget for a very long time, Vince.
And you're the winningest Penske driver ever with your 60th win.
I forgot about that.
Congratulations. What's that mean to you, Brad?
I think any win means a lot, but that's a big number. Now I get to wear that yellow Mark Donahue helmet. Yoakum's been on me about it. Now I can, Matt, so here we go. We're going to wear it next week. But what a tremendous honor that to this day is, wow. I don't even know how to put it in words. I'm just so happy for this team. First race with the new rules or whatever they're called now. And to be able to win it, that's really special as well. And I know everybody here is excited about that. And just a great day overall for Team Penske and our Ford Mustang.
I mean, you can hear it in his voice. He's tired. I mean, he ran a heck of a race and felt like crap all race long, but was able to power through and ultimately get that win. Brad Keselowski is one tough guy. He's a guy that I think you have seen over the last 5, 6, 7 years. He's put his name on the map as one of the top drivers in the sport. And, you know, He's a former champion with Roger Penske. You look at last year and what he was able to do, that he was there, but you didn't really talk about him because you were talking about the big three. And then all of a sudden, he gets into the playoffs with a win. He wins three straight. And so he advances into that second round with doing the work that he did towards the end of the year. So I felt like that was good enough momentum. I actually really liked him going into Speed Weeks to possibly win the Daytona 500. And then he turns around the next week in Atlanta and ends up winning the race. He led 33 laps there at the end to win it. Now, watching it, you look at Martin Truex Jr., who ended up coming home second. I thought if they had a few more laps, he was going to catch Brad Keselowski. I was actually a little surprised he didn't, but he gave the reason why with Fox Sports.
It's just lap cars, you know. I mean, it was a shame we got put in that position on that last restart, you know. But that's, you know, the way the caution fell. Really proud of the team. Great rebound after last weekend. Bass Pro Shops, Tracker ATVs and Boats, thank all you guys. Everybody at Toyota, everybody back at the shop at JGR, they built a great race car here. And man, I could taste that one. It was I really wanted that first Atlanta win. Just, you know, the 17 rode there in front of us forever and ever, running the bottom. And I kept telling him I needed the bottom. And these cars are just so bad in dirty air that he was holding me up really bad. You know, once I got around him, I drove, you know, got to the two car in two laps. I just needed one more. So, unfortunate, we had a great car. And like I said, the guys did a great job. So, just a little upset. We had the best car. We probably should have won that one.
Martin Truex Jr., not very happy with the lap cars. Felt like that they had the car that was going to be able to win that race. And, you know, as they say, that's racing. That's something that happens sometimes. You have to deal with the lap cars. And there were a lot of them at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. I mean, they were in the way for a good chunk of the race just because things would get so spread out. And therefore, you know, they kind of would hold things up. But Truex was able to get around him eventually, but just didn't have enough time to chase down Brad Keselowski to get that win. And, you know, I think Truex is once again going to put his name in the hat with a big three or possibly even a big four if we get to that point. I do think with this new rules package, there will be more winners than we have seen in the last few years. But Truex is taking the success that he had at Furniture Row Racing. He's going over to Joe Gibbs Racing. And he has picked up where he left off with crew chief Cole Pern. You know, and I don't think that really surprises anyone because they're in the same equipment. It's virtually the same team. You know, the seats are the same. The pedals are the same. Everything that he has been dealing with the last few years are all the same. So it's not like there was a huge transition for Martin Truex Jr. Honestly, it's gotten easier for him now because everything's in Charlotte where he is. He doesn't have to worry about Cole Pern being at the shop in Denver where Furniture Row is based. Now everything is on the home front in Charlotte, and it's easier for him to go to the shop and meet with the guys and check out the cars before the races. So Truex comes home second. Just to give you a look at the top 10, Kurt Busch was third. Great run for him. He led a lap, but also had a really good run. Kevin Harvick kind of dominated the mid part of the race, and again, we'll talk to him here in just a little bit. The thing that really stood out to me about Harvick, I was watching him. I was standing behind his pit. He would get a decent restart. The car would fall off. He'd fall back a little bit. And then as the run went on, his car would get better, and he'd start chasing the other drivers down and passing them, and that's how he got to the lead. But at the end, when the caution started to fall, you know, that hurt him because he just wasn't very good at the beginning of a run. So that's something that, you know, they'll have to look at on these speedway cars. And we'll see, you know, Las Vegas, he's really, really good at. He's won there twice, and including last year. So we'll see if they're able to correct that and get that figured out as they move into the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. His teammate Clint Bowyer's buddy came home fifth. Kyle Busch came home sixth. We'll get to him in just a second. Eric Jones, seventh. Eric Almirola, eighth. Chris Buescher, ninth. And Daniel Suarez, another Stewart Haas car, comes home tenth. I mentioned Kyle Busch. Kyle had a pretty good car, was making his run towards the front of the pack, and then all of a sudden he had issues. There were steering issues throughout the weekend, and Kyle Busch was a victim of that. He ends up hitting the wall, but somehow rebounds to finish sixth. It was an up-and-down day for him, but he caught up with Fox after the race.
I got in the fence just a little bit in the center of one and two, just touched it, and then kind of smelt some smoke and never saw any and thought we'd be okay. But overall, it just must have rubbed it and cut it down. And fortunately, we got a caution there, caught us a break and was able to get tires on the thing and pull it back out and go back after him. But, man, what a hell of a weekend for all of our guys on this creamy Snickers Camry. It just was evil tight all day long. We just couldn't get the tide out of it, and we were battling and running the wall all day long, and that's where I needed to be in order to make up any time. And doing that, you run close to the fence and you run into opportunities to get yourself in trouble. But overall, salvaged a decent day, I guess, and you know, we can move on out of here with some positives.
So Kyle Busch, you know, always shows emotion. You know, he's never happy with anything less than winning, but considering the circumstances, that with the day that he had, I think he'll take a sixth place finish and move on to Las Vegas, his hometown, his home track. And he was able to drive that car back through the field. I was watching him, and he hit it pretty good. I mean, there was some damage on that machine. I was walking through the pits, and they were trying to fix it, and you could see sheet metal hanging off and all of that from where he had hit the wall. But Kyle Busch able to bounce back for a sixth place finish. Going back to Brad Keselowski and the weekend that he had, I mentioned that he had been sick, and he was asked in his post-race availability about what this win meant and his journey with Roger Penske and the Mustang, and here's what he had to say on that win.
Yeah, I'd say at the moment, Jacob, I think it's a little bit of a – I'm in a little bit of a daze. You know, it's a long, tough race, and you know, trying to rewind it all in my head, what all happened, and then think about what it means is a little difficult to do in the moment. But I think it's certainly a really big day for us, one that, you know, I'll reflect on for a long time. All wins are special. There's no wins that don't mean something, but some just mean more. And this one means more for a number of reasons, whether it be the win record for Team Penske. That's certainly very special to me. And when you look at the list of drivers, it's a pretty big list. And it's big not just with the amount of drivers, but big with the superstar and the superstar power, I guess you'd call it. You know, just to be on that list as a winner means a lot, but to be on top of it means even more.
And he continues, because it's been well documented that NASCAR was going to this new package, that they're going to have the tapered spacer, which they've been running that, but it was going to be changed, the higher spoiler. And ultimately, Brad Keselowski is able to win in the first points race with this package. And that's something that was special to him, because he has spent his career winning in, as he says, as you'll hear in this clip, different disciplines, whether it's a rule change or different cars or different manufacturers or whatever. But the fact that he was able to get it done in the first race with this new rules package was special to BK.
Winning the first race whenever there's a major rules change, I think is it means something to me personally, because, you know, I think when you look at, you know, kind of the elite race car drivers over the years, being able to win in multiple disciplines, especially in NASCAR, is really what sets them apart. So there's no, you know, maybe clearer mark than when there's rule changes as significant as this year. And so to be able to win and under those terms and kind of leave that mark is a big one for me personally, and for our team as well.
And not only that, not only was it a new rules package, but he was in the Mustang. Ford switched to the Mustang, and there were questions on whether there would be trouble with the Mustang, similar to what Chevy had with the Camaro last year. Would there be a little bit of a learning curve with a new body on the car? That wasn't the case. Only the second points-paying race in, the Mustang is in victory lane with Brad Keselowski.
And then I would add in the Ford Mustang. You know, it's it seems like Ford, or since I've been a part of you know, Ford Performance here for the last 5.5 years, each year just kind of incrementally ramps up their efforts in NASCAR. And switching from the Fusion to the Mustang to me was a big showing of the commitment that Ford has to NASCAR long term. And therefore, you know, it's always great to kind of leave your mark on that legacy and to be the first one to win under those terms as well. So a lot of different things going through my mind, I guess, Jacob. It's hard to really put them all together. And, you know, I'm hot and tired, but it's certainly a very special day.
So that's kind of the rundown of the Atlanta Motor Speedway and the racing that we saw. What did NASCAR see out of the new rules package? You will hear from the man that makes all those decisions, Steve O'Donnell, when we come back. It's Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, and online, The Game Nashville app. And we are back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We are online at thegamenashville.com. That's where you can find all of our podcasts in our awesome pod center. We have things on, of course, I do the wrestling one. We have Preds, the Preds official podcast. We also have some other things coming down the pipe. So check that out, thegamenashville.com. And also subscribe on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, and review, and just search for Chasing Checkers, and you can get it downloaded to your phone every week. But discussing the new rules package that debuted at the Atlanta Motor Speedway, now we saw a glimpse of this in the Xfinity Series for a handful of races. We've basically seen this in the Truck Series, and we also saw it in the All-Star Race. But this was the first Cup Series points-paying race that had this new rules package. And like I said, I was at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. I watched it with my own two eyes. And what I saw on first glance, I thought was pretty good. And I think that that is a win for NASCAR. I think that they have put this thing together to try and create better racing, to try and get people to tune in on TV, go to the track more. And to me, I think they're doing a good job with it because it's exciting. It's creating passes. I mean, how many lead changes did we see at the Atlanta Motor Speedway? And yes, the cars would spread out at times, but I also think that you saw some pack racing. I think you're going to see even more of that coming up this weekend at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Steve O'Donnell, who of course is in charge of all of this, vice president of competition with NASCAR, he met with the media briefly after the race and gave his first thoughts on this new package.
What did I see today? I saw a fairly entertaining race. I think, you know, like we said, going into this race, we didn't know what to expect either. We thought that this package would showcase itself more as we got to the West Coast. But with some really long green flag runs, I think you saw the ability to get back up to the leader and make a pass, which was encouraging. So all in all, I think we're satisfied with the outcome. A lot of work to do to go back and review it, though.
Are there any shortcomings of today that stood out in your mind?
Nothing that comes to mind. I mean, we thought we saw a pretty entertaining race with a good battle for the lead there at the end that, you know, wasn't precipitated by a late caution. So that's ultimately what you want.
Steve, can you explain the Truex penalty, non-penalty, and how he got positioned where he was for that final?
Yeah, it was a non-penalty, so it automatically goes to the penalty sheet, regardless of if we override it in the tower. And that was one that we couldn't confirm that the foot was down via the camera angle, so we didn't make that call.
Can you explain the Chase Elliott situation? He was, I think, kind of frustrated. It felt like they had beat the leader out, but was kind of questioning maybe where their positioning was.
Yeah, it's very clear on the camera, so we'll show the team exactly what happened. But it was about a five-second differential in terms of what it was. So
that he got beat.
Happy with what you saw today as far as the package on the track?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, we can always look to improve. The race just finished, right? So we got to go back and look at a lot of the metrics and see what we can improve upon. But I think all in all, we wanted to come here and have a decent race for the fans and get to the West Coast. And I think that's what we did. And the storyline, again, was about the battle at the end of the race.
So the crew chief called the penalty, and then you reviewed it and said you couldn't confirm it?
Yeah, we ultimately made the call, Bob.
Steve O'Donnell, the Executive Vice President, Chief Racing Development Officer of NASCAR, about this new rules package. And, again, I think that this thing is going to need tweaks, like everything, but I think it's helping to take the racing in the right direction to make it, put it more in the hands of the driver. And it's not, you got to have a good car, but you also have to have a skilled driver to be able to drive it in this type of rules setup. So I think that is a win for NASCAR. That is a win for the fans. That is a win for the drivers because the drivers want to be able to race each other. And I think that this is going to allow them to do that with them running basically the same setup, you know, give or take a little bit of difference at every track. So I think that that is going to be good. Steve O'Donnell continues with the media on what to expect as they move forward into different races with this new rule setup.
Putting changing the spoiler. Is that something that could something
it's probably premature now to talk about that. So we're just downloading all that data, but we'll get back to you on it for sure.
For today, did the race play out like the data you guys had? Was it similar to what you predicted or forecasted?
Fair question. I think this one was probably more of an unknown. When you looked at this race going in, I think, you know, for us, this was the biggest question mark as to how it would play out. So hard to say this is exactly how we predicted. I think ultimately we wanted cars to run closer together. We wanted a battle to play out for the lead at times, which we saw during the race. Some things certainly to work on, but ultimately I think it was directionally where we wanted to go.
Kyle, before he walked off, said he wasn't fond of the package. Said it still was kind of hard. It was hard to pass out there.
Kyle,
Bush.
That's Kyle can have his opinion, right? We got 40 race cars out there all battling for the win.
Thank you.
Now, when we talked to Kurt Busch last week, he didn't know what to expect, and I think that was the case with a lot of the drivers. They weren't really sure what it was going to be. They had their thoughts. They had a couple of ideas. But they didn't really know exactly how the racing was going to be with this new setup. As we saw, there was some pack racing. They spread out a little bit. But then you saw cars like Kevin Harvick, who you'll hear from here in just a few minutes, that it took him a while to get it dialed in and to be able to chase down the leaders. So there's a lot of different things that they have to look at. But I think they have a ton of things they can build upon. That's the best part about this rules setup. Brad Keselowski gave his thoughts in his post-race win media session after the race.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the few truck races I've ran over the last few years on a mile and a half. So, you know, getting the drafting right on the restart is really critical. Making the right lane choices and decisions and swapping lanes at the right time and kind of being able to predict all that is super, super critical. And I think we'll see that play out over races to come.
So BK seems pleased. Now, again, you've heard a lot of the drivers. You've heard a lot of the crew chiefs. You know, they have all said that they would probably get more of an idea of how this thing was going to work when they got to Las Vegas. I'm also going to be at that race, excited to watch that from pit lane and see how this rules package works with these cars. So now I'll be able to come back next week and tell you, okay, this is what I saw at Atlanta, this is what I saw at Vegas, and the differences. So looking forward to that. And, you know, I think that Roger Penske, who is the car owner of Brad Keselowski, you know, he is a car guy. He was asked in the post-race availability if he got what he thought they were getting with this package and what he thinks they can build upon.
Well, as I said earlier, I felt that I'd have to say a solid B. No one gets an A on their first exam, I don't think. But I'd say it's a solid B for NASCAR today because there were drivers, Brad included. Sir Joey twice could come from the back and come up so they could pass cars. I thought the one thing that was amazing to me was someone on the high line, you could run the low line going into two and stay with them and drag him back going down the straightaway. There were some things that you don't see normally, you know, with a faster speed. So the car seemed to be more under control. You didn't see any accidents, which maybe the fans like that. But I felt overall the package showed well. And to me, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at Las Vegas. But overall, it wasn't a crash fest, which everybody said it was going to be potentially. And to me, inspection process was good. It looks like there's a lot of equal cars running out there. It's going to come up to the drivers and the strategy, which is what we want. And to me, well, let's see how it plays out. But I was quite happy with the outcome personally for our team, and we'll look forward to see what happens you know, in the next couple of weeks.
Captain Roger Penske, you know, I like that. You don't give an A on the first exam, but he gave him a pretty good grade. He seemed happy with it. And like I've been saying, like pretty much everyone has been saying, we have a good starting point and something to build upon. And that is going to be the positive moving forward with this setup. And, you know, Ford has had just some dominance as of late. And, you know, they went through some lean years, and now that they got it going again, I think Roger Penske has had a lot to do with that. Obviously, Stuart Haas Racing has had a lot to do with that. They have some very talented drivers, but they're in this top-notch equipment. And now, you know, it seems like they haven't missed a beat moving into this new rules package We'll see what that does for the other manufacturers. I mean, Toyota got a win at Daytona, but that was the old package. That was the restrictor plate package. So we'll see this weekend, you know, if it's another Ford, whether it's a Penske Ford or Stuart Haas or possibly Roush, or if the Toyotas have something to say or the Chevys have something to say. But I think they've leveled the playing field. And that, I think, is important because, as I was saying earlier in the segment, it's in the hands of the driver. You have to have the skill to be able to drive these cars. And that, I think, is going to be what helps crown a new champion under this rules setup. So we'll get a driver's perspective on this when we come back. Kevin Harvick, the driver of the number 4 Stuart Haas Racing Ford, will join us next. It's Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And as promised, pleased to be joined by the driver of the number 4 Stuart Haas Racing Ford. Kevin Harvick is on the line with us. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So I was actually at the race in Atlanta yesterday. We've talked about the new rules package and everything that was going to happen there. But one thing I noticed with you was it seemed like you'd get the good restart, you'd fall off a little bit, and then as the run went longer, your car really started to come to you. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. And, you know, for us, I felt like we were a little bit behind all weekend with the new rules package and everything that came along with it. We had a bunch of steering trouble on Friday. And as we got into the race, we started off fairly well. Car was too tight and definitely had better long run speed than short run speed. And we never really caught up with it. We won stage two and had a great race with Kyle Larson and were just too tight with the front end after that and couldn't really get it back adjusted. And then we got caught on pit road under the caution, but. You know, I felt like we had a good first weekend with all the things that have changed. And you know, I think with all the trouble that we had on Friday and not being able to really do anything on track, during practice and qualifying, you know, with all the conditions and changes that we had on Sunday, I felt like our team did a really good job. So it was a good, solid weekend for us. And now we finally have, an idea of where to go and things that we need to work on and can actually start working on what we need to do better.
I know from my perspective, I mean, there was, a lot of passing, a lot of lead changes. I mean, it seemed like NASCAR was getting the result that they were looking for. Do you think we'll see even more with this rules package when you guys go to Vegas this weekend?
Yeah, I think as you go to Vegas, things are different than even what they were at Atlanta. Atlanta is definitely, a handling style racetrack. And, I think as you look at the test and the things that happened at Las Vegas, it's going to be a different style race. The unique part about everything that we have going on right now is we have to do so many different things to our car in the way that it handles and the things that you do to it from each and every track. So, the type of car and the way that you race will be different at Las Vegas compared to what it was at Atlanta because you'll be worried about handling a little bit less. Handling's always going to come into play, but you'll be worried about a little bit less than what you were at Atlanta.
He's Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Stuart Haas Racing Ford, on the line with us. They'll be racing at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this weekend as part of the NASCAR Cup Series. And the Ford makes the switch to Mustang this year. And I know last year with Chevy, we saw them they struggled a little bit with the switch to the Camaro. We haven't seen that thus far with Mustang getting its first win yesterday. How have you gotten a feel for the new Mustang and how that's working?
Well, you didn't really see that with Toyota either when they had their car come on board. And, by the time we got to Charlotte, they were winning the majority of the races, the year that they brought their new car out. I think Ford and Toyota have done a better job than Chevrolet did with, the car design and the adapting it to the racetrack and the things that they've done with it. So, I think, our Ford group has put a lot of effort into putting the Mustang on the racetrack and being able to, apply that to performance and obviously race wins already. We won a dual race at Daytona. All the Fords were fast at Daytona and Brad getting the victory lane and myself and Brad and Joey and Eric getting a pole. So it's been a great debut so far for the Mustang and hopefully we can keep that rolling.
Kevin, one thing that's been cool to watch with you since you came into the sport is we always saw Delano on the pit box in the fire suit, and then when Keelan was born, we saw Keelan at the track. And family has been big for you to have them around. How cool is it with NASCAR that it allows you to have your family be a part of your job on a daily basis?
It's not as cool as it used to be. Keelan doesn't like going to the track as much as he used to because
really?
He can't go on the pit box and he can't ride around with Dad for driver intros or anything like that with all the new rules there. But, you know, NASCAR is, for us, we're gone a lot and obviously – with the things that we're able to do on the weekends, with being able to travel the way that we do, the family can come and having Piper, she didn't get to come to the racetrack much last year. It's just hard with a newborn to bring them around a lot of people to the track and have have it be good for everybody in the motorhome. So they've been fortunate to come to both races this year. We've got to spend a lot of time together and most of it is away from racing, just because of the fact that we try to do as many normal things as we can throughout the year. So right now school is a big mark against Keelan's days at the racetrack just because he's got to go to school. But usually I take him with me all summer and we can have a great time. At a lot of the different venues that we go to throughout the summer. So we'll definitely do that again this year and have a good time with it.
Could we see another victory celebration with Keelan in the car?
we got away with that one time. I don't know that, usually you don't get away with too many things like that too many other times, but for us, he and I, that was a great moment. That was really a great weekend. His mom probably didn't think so between the crashed golf cart and the quarter midget and all the things that came with that weekend, but we had a great time.
Kevin, I know that you focus obviously on the Cup Series, but in Nashville we have a racetrack sitting at the fairgrounds that we are hoping NASCAR returns to one day. I know that there's movement on that, and you've raced in Nashville at the other track. I think you have a couple of guitars in your possession as well from winning. But what would it mean for the sport to be able to come back to Nashville?
Well, Nashville is a NASCAR town. And, I think as you look at all the talk of coming back to Nashville, I think that there's not a person in the sport that wouldn't tell you that we don't need to be in Nashville racing. We need to be in Nashville. I think everybody in our sport agrees upon that. And, I think as you look at the history that the Fairgrounds Speedway has, compared to many of the racetracks that we race on today, it's a shame that it ever left because, I think obviously the sport went through, a huge growth and we built a lot of big racetracks. But, the Fairgrounds type racetrack is especially in the Xfinity Series and Truck Series, those are the types of racetracks that those series need to be racing on. So it's a great facility. And, for us, Nashville is the heart of what we need to be doing from a racetrack, but it's also, where a lot of our fans are our grassroots fans are there, and we need to be in Nashville as much as we can, and we would be excited to be back there.
Man, I love hearing that. Kevin, as I wrap this up, best of luck this weekend in Vegas. I am actually going to be in your pit stall as a guest of Hunt Brothers, so I look forward to getting to see you at the track.
Awesome. Well, that's great. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the time, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate Kevin Harvick for joining us here on the show. Got to catch up with him a little earlier this week as he gets ready to head to Vegas for that race. And look, he's pretty good there. I know if you look at driveraverages.com, his average finish is a 15.37. However, he has won there a couple times back in 2015 and then, of course, last year. Both of those wins coming with Stuart Haas Racing. So since he has gotten to SHR, things have been a lot better there. He has had three top tens during his time in the number four car. He is a guy that, you look at how he ran the race last week at Atlanta, and then you take that what he's done the past few times at Vegas, I would not rule out the number four car. In fact, that's who I am leaning towards this week because I just think he's so good there. Stuart Haas Racing and the Fords have brought a ton of speed so far in the very early part of this season, and I think it goes back to last year and what they've been able to do. So watch out for Kevin Harvick. Appreciate him taking the time to join us this week. Again, if you missed some of these driver interviews, we're lucky to get a lot of them on the show with us, and you can go to thegamenashville.com and check all of those out. When we come back, we'll get you set for racing at Las Vegas, race number 3 on the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series schedule. It is Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. Appreciate Kevin Harvick for taking the time to join us. Racing at Las Vegas this weekend. Excited to head out there and get to see that race. You know, that track has a lot of speed. They've done a really good job of Bruton Smith, of course, that owns it, SMI. That it's just it's Vegas, so you expect a lot of entertainment. But the racing has been really good out there over the last few years, and I am super excited about this rules package and what we're going to get. I think you're going to see a lot of pack racing like you would see at a Daytona or a Talladega, and that is going to make a fast track even more exciting. And you heard Kevin Harvick talking about that a little bit and what he expects. He, of course, won this race last year. Now you go back to the race in September, and that was won by Brad Keselowski. That's where he started this run that he went on towards the end of last season. Kyle Larson was second, and Martin Truex Jr. was third. Joey Logano, the eventual champion of the series, was fourth, and Ryan Blaney came home fifth. So I would expect all of those guys to be in contention on Sunday, plus Kevin Harvick, who had some issues in the last race that they were there. I mean, Harvick is great on these type of tracks, but I think Truex is even better. He is a guy that you always have to basically put your money on, to use the Vegas term, slide your chips on that number 19, because he's so good on the mile and a half tracks, and I would expect nothing less. But what do we expect going into this weekend with those rules? I think it's just like Atlanta. There's a ton of unknowns. Now, some things that we took away from Atlanta that with this rules package, you know, they took out the track bar adjuster in the cars. The drivers last few years have been able to adjust the track bar on their own. That is now gone. And Brad Keselowski said after his win at Atlanta that he likes that because drivers won't have to play defense as much.
Taking the track bar adjuster out of the car definitely made a difference because it was, to me, the track bar adjuster was always made it better to play defense and or easier to play defense. And so I thought that was interesting change. I thought they saw more comers and goers because of that personally. So I thought that was interesting. As far as the rest of it, I think it's still really early. You know, Atlanta is a very, I don't know how to put it. Atlanta is not like the other mile and a halves in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of tire wear here. Super high speeds and banking, super high tire wear. It's kind of maxes out in all the categories, you know, and then you take like Las Vegas next week. It's probably in the middle of all the categories. So I wouldn't maybe guarantee that what you saw today is what you'll see moving forward, for good or bad. So it's hard to give great answers, but all in all, I thought it was about what I expected would be here for Atlanta. But we'll just keep tweaking on the cars, keep learning about them, and keep getting better, and the racing will evolve with direction. I don't know.
So taking the rules into this weekend at Vegas from a crew chief standpoint, I think that, you know, I had Larry McReynolds on the show last week, and he gave his thoughts on what to expect and kind of how you adjust. I mean, you essentially have to take your notebook that you have had over the last few years and throw it out the window or put it in storage or whatever you do with it, because you had to start a completely different notebook because everything has changed. The setup on the cars change. There's a difference between a qualifying trim and race trim. I mean, that's kind of kicking it back to old school, where you had a qualifying package that you put together, and then you had a race package. And Paul Wolf, who is the crew chief for Brad Keselowski, said a lot of teams haven't figured that adjustment out just yet.
I think there's going to be a big changeover from qualifying to race, and you know, we're still trying to figure that out, and we – We definitely missed it on Friday in qualifying with that. But as you saw, our cars were very good in race trim. All of our cars led laps and were strong. So it just shows you the big difference between qualifying and race. And there's a lot of opportunity. There's still a lot to be learned. And I think you'll see it change as we go to these first few racetracks and everyone trying to figure it out. But overall, it's like I said, the Mustangs have been good. It was good, you know, to see Stuart Haas cars had good speed on Friday, and we were able to follow that up with good speed with the Mustangs and race trim. So I know there's potential there in this car, and we've got to just do a little bit better job next week at Las Vegas at getting the cars closer to the front.
I love that. I love that about this rule setup, because I think that you always watched back in the day, a guy would be really, really good at qualifying because they would have a really good qualifying setup, and then they would have to adjust as the race went on. There was a strategy behind it. And then, you know, you kind of got where they were similar and they have this knockout qualifying and things like that. Now it's gone back to that, where you have to adjust and you have to have two different strategies. Do you want to qualify well? Do you want to start up front and get that track position? Or do you want to be more set up for the race itself? And then, you know, you can adjust as the things go on, start in the back, work your way up. And how many drivers back in the day, you know, Dale Earnhardt was one of those guys that didn't always qualify well, but he was always up front towards the end of the race. I mean, he had his fair share of poles and, you know, a good starting position. But I think he was one of those guys that would rather start in the back and have a really good car for the race itself and then work his way back up through the field. So you're seeing that. You saw that with Brad Keselowski. You saw that with some of the Fords last week, a lot of the guys that ended up towards the front. And I think that is going to be something that continues as this package goes on. Now, I'm curious to see, you know, how it all shakes out from a qualifying standpoint over the next few weeks under this new package, because we're going to hit a lot of different tracks. You know, Phoenix is a different one, and then California is kind of that cookie cutter, and then you know, you'll have some short tracks on the horizon as well. So qualifying, you know, how much of a difference will there be in the different setups? That is a question that still has to be answered. Earlier in the show, we mentioned with Brad Keselowski getting that first win for the Mustang, Paul Wolf, his crew chief, expounded upon that and the differences with that new Ford.
Yeah, no, I think you know, that we're excited about the new Mustang. Obviously, it's shown some good strength, I think, not only at the speedways last week at Daytona, but, you know, as we came here this weekend and saw, you know, how fast the Stuart Haas cars were in qualifying, and then we were able to follow that up with some really strong cars today. There's still a lot to be learned. You know, the Mustang is a little different for us, and we're trying to figure that out, but with that being said, the rules change for this year, and the new package is as much of a change. So we're excited about it. I think there's still a lot to be learned. And, you know, any time there's a massive rules change like this, like Brad talked about earlier, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in being able to get a head start on everyone. And it was good to see all the Team Penske cars lead laps today and run as strong as they did. So there's still a lot to learn. I think you'll see some different things at some different tracks as we move through the beginning part of the season here. But today was a good start for us, for sure.
Paul Wolf on the Mustang. Now, that leads us to the big question. Who do I think, Chase McCabe, who do I think is going to win this race this weekend? You know, it's Vegas. You got to slide your chips in. As I said earlier, I think if I'm making a pick, I am going to go with the guy that won this race last year. He was really strong at Atlanta and fell off a little bit towards the end. He's always good on these tracks. It's Kevin Harvick. I think Harvick gets it done. It gets his first win of the year and punches his ticket to the playoffs. And what would be very interesting about that, three races, three different winners. And you've heard a lot of people say with this new rules package, you're going to have multiple winners this year. I don't think since they've started this new format with the playoffs that we've never had 16 different winners. There's a chance that happens this year. I think you're going to see the cream rise to the top, but I don't think you're going to see a big three that just dominates everything.
I think you're going to have a big three or a big four, but you're going to have a lot of other drivers to get their wins as well. So that's my prediction. That's how I think it's going to shake out. This should be a fun race. I will have lots to report as I will be there live and in person. So I look forward to discussing that next week here on the show. That's going to do it. My thanks to Kevin Harvick and to all of you. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the race, and we will do it again next week here on Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.